Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. And we'll take a look at the cash grain market with Matt Bennett from Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois. Along the way, we'll check out the weather forecast, too. That with Drew Lernert, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Mike Tenora is out of the office this week. And we'll get an update of the news from your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Oh, and I'll tell you how to sign up to buy your tickets today for our first ever Farm Assets Conference. That's in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, on the 24th day of November. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago from the CME Group. December corn futures at $3.74 were a penny and a quarter lower. The March contract down 1 1/2 at $3.87. And May corn today at $3.95 3/4, a penny and a half, or rather penny and a quarter lower there as well. July down 1 at $4.02 1/2, and December of next year at $4.16 1/2. Down rather up 0.25 cents for December corn next year. Soy complex bean futures 10.24 1/4, down 18 3/4. January at 10.29 3/4, 19 1/4 lower, and the March futures at $10.36, down 20 cents. May futures at 10.42 1/2, down 20 1/4, and July futures at 10.48 1/4, down 21 cents. November beans at $10.12, that's down 8 3/4 cents. Bean meal futures finished $17.20 lower. Bean oil up 13 cents for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at 171 were $2 higher in the October. December, 75 cents higher at 167.50 for the day. Feeder cattle on the afternoon at 239.67 1/2 were 82 1/2 cents higher in the October. November, 234.60, up $1.55, and lean hogs at $87.25 were down $1.35. February futures there at $87.25 were down $1.02 1/2. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org and buy tickets for our brand new Farm Assets Conference at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December contract in the crude oil at $80.79 a barrel, down $1.41. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.50 2/10 cents, 3 3/10 cents lower. And gasoline prices for the day at $2.18 9/10 on the wholesale, down 3 cents for the afternoon. Current trade for the natural gas at $3.82 9/10 is 4 1/10 cents higher. And ethanol futures at this hour are trading at $1.83 7/10. That is a settlement price 1/10 cent lower for the day. Dow Jones Industrial Average now at about 17,086, 162 points higher. The dollar is trading at 86.235, up 0.199. And gold futures at $1,200.01. That's $1,201, down $23.75 or thereabouts. Checking the weather forecast as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. We'll see a 30% chance of rainfall for the afternoon. That'll come after 3 o'clock. It'll be mostly cloudy, a high of 55 degrees today on a south-southeast wind at about 7 miles an hour. And then tonight, that 30% chance of showers will continue through 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, and a low of 37. Winds will turn to the northwest at 5 to 9 after midnight. And Friday, we'll have partly sunny skies, a high of 43. It'll be breezy with a north-northwest wind at 18 to 25 miles an hour. That'll gust all the way to 38. And again, that high, just 43 degrees tomorrow. And then Friday night, a widespread frost after 1 a.m. Otherwise, mostly clear, a low of 27 degrees. It'll be blustery with a north-northwest wind at 14 to 21 miles an hour. The gust as high as 31. Again, the low Friday night all the way down to 27 degrees. Saturday, widespread frost before 9 a.m. with a high of 43 degrees for the day.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It is the 30th day of October. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on the University. It's been kind of a roller coaster for soybeans for a little bit. Things have been higher. It looks maybe, and you can tell me whether a bottom has been put into this marketplace or not for the harvest.
Well, we got a bottom for now, I guess. You know, unless the market totally falls apart tomorrow, we're going to have outside price reversals to the upside or key reversals to the upside on the monthly chart. So that's usually a strong signal that prices have hit bottom. And now we're going to decide whether or not we're going to go sideways or if we're going to extend as you go through the month of November and you kind of maybe bottom out sometime in that first part of December. So my guess is that that could be what we're going to do, is that we may come down and test these lows and see how strong they are. But we'll have a lot of retracement levels to look at as the market, if the market is deciding now to maybe show some weakness or a corrective decline. The soybean market has lost a lot of its buying power, and that's what's driven it basically since the last time I talked to you. We've lost like 105,000 contracts in beans and total open interest. So that short covering in with soybean meal leading the charge is what really gave soybeans that buying power to punch its way up to this 1050 area. And so now the market has lost that buying power. The ones that are probably left in it are fairly strong shorts. They're probably commercials and whatnot. But any speculative guy that was short that soybeans or soybean meal, they got their clock clean really bad. So we'll have to see from there. We did see some good country movement, I think, farmers both selling corn and soybeans over the past couple of days. And it was a nice rally for the month of October for those people that needed to get some extra bushels sold or needed to get some bushels sold rather than pay storage, whatever they needed. It has been a nice rally to do that on.
So is this a short-lived rally, in your opinion? And maybe it depends on what happens tomorrow and how the monthlies finish up. But it was led, of course, as you said, by soybean meal, and it was a distribution problem. So I'm wondering whether there is really very much oomph left in the marketplace for at least soybeans.
Well, we're going to find out. Like I told Dave this morning, I got what I wanted out of the October rally. It hit all my targets of the 370s and East corn and 1050 on November beans. So I'm out for the year. I'm done. The rest of the guys can clown around in the next 2 months. But that's what's – we'll have to see how much follow-through we get on today's reversal down in beans. Now, you know, beans did close 20 lower, and they did take out yesterday's high in the overnight session. We went to 59 here on the January beans, and then we closed 20 lower. So we'll see how much follow-through selling this reversal kind of generates. If it does generate some follow-through selling, the first retracement point that you'll look for probably on the January soybeans for support point will be 1003, which will be the 38% retracement level of the October advance. Corn futures did have that little reversal, but it wasn't very powerful by only closing a penny or penny and a half lower. But we are off the, you know, highs for the move. December futures went back and knocked on the August high at 381. So that may kind of look like the upper end of a possible trading range, this 381. We'll see. But December still maintain, it's got a second close above the 100-day moving average. and the 25 days on the verge of punching above the 50-day. And if you don't see any follow-through to the downside in corn, my guess is that you're going to see another round of trend trader type buying with this 25-day crossing above the 50. And then that would maybe set the stages that we don't get a November break. Maybe this thing stays firm into Thanksgiving, and then we break during the month of December.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you again in 1 week.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. He joins us here on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear him online in just a few minutes, actually, at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, take time to look up a couple of things, two ways to purchase your tickets, $25 for our Farm Assets Conference. You can do it just there online if you'd like, or dial this number, 800-898-1065. Don't wait any longer. Buy them today at 800-898-1065, our Farm Assets Conference, first ever on the ISU campus in Normal, Illinois, on the 24th day of November. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Sove Econ says today that dry weather has damaged the early growth of winter wheat in Russia's key growing areas, threatening to push up food prices not only domestically, but also in key export markets such as Egypt and Iran. Sove Econ projects Russia could produce less than 50 million metric tons of wheat in the 2015-16 crop year. In the prior year, Russia produced 59 million tons. As a result, Russia could export as little as 18 million tons of wheat in the 15-16 harvest. USDA has extended the deadlines for dairy producers to enroll in the Dairy Margin Protection Program. Farmers will now have until December the 5th. The Margin Protection Program was established by the 2014 Farm Bill and provides financial assistance to participating farmers when the margin falls below a coverage level that the farmer has selected when enrolling. The recent run-up in soybean futures and dips in the Brazilian real against the dollar have got Brazilian farmers thinking about lightly selling their 2014-15 crop once again. As of October 1st, Brazilian farmers had committed just 12% of the projected 14-15 soybean crop, well down on the average of 31% sold at the same point over the last 5 years. Mosaic Company says that its third quarter earnings jumped 62% on higher phosphate and potash sales. Overall, Mosaic posted earnings of $201.9 million, or 54 cents a share, up from $124.4 million, or 29 cents a share a year earlier. Net sales of phosphates grew 21.4% to $1.7 billion. Potash net sales increased 13.4% to $593 million. For the fourth quarter, Mosaic said it expects potash sales volumes of 2 million to 2.3 million tons, up from 1.9 million tons a year ago. Meanwhile, Bunge said sales in its main agribusiness segment fell 8.2% in the latest quarter, as the decline in commodity prices resulted in slow farmer selling. Sales in the agribusiness segment fell to $9.84 billion from $10.72 billion a year earlier. For the quarter ending in September, Bunge reported a profit of $294 million compared with a loss of $148 million a year ago. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Have you purchased your ticket yet for our Farm Assets Conference that comes up in the month of November, the Monday before Thanksgiving or the 24th day? If you're interested, it's just $25. That includes parking and the noon meal at the Marriott Hotel on the ISU Illinois State University campus. In Normal, those attending can expect to hear pricing information on agricultural commodities from all of our regular on-air experts, learn how the new farm bill might impact crop insurance decisions going forward, to effectively analyze and choose between the new federal ARC and PLC programs, and explore the value of farmland. Registration is online right now at willag.org. That's willag.org, or you can call this number 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. It's just $25. You are definitely going to be done farming by then. So why don't you kick off your winter meeting season with a great brand new event in Normal, Illinois at the Marriott Hotel. It's the Will Ag Farm Assets Conference. Again, the number to call, 800-898-1065. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. At this hour, on the south end of the University of Illinois campus, Kraft Foods representatives are meeting with University of Illinois representatives to announce a brand new research collaboration. It will focus on the economic and technical feasibility of extracting food coloring from corn and incorporating that into foods and beverages. More on that in a moment. Nigel Kirkley is the Vice President of Research and Supplier Integration for Kraft Foods. I asked him just a few minutes ago about the importance of the relationship with the University of Illinois as an academic institution.
But the relationship works really very similar. It works on a number of levels. First of all, we want to be the recruiter and developer of the best talent there is in the industry. This is the obvious place to start, is at the university. So we have a lot of involvement with the students, providing them with opportunities. Some of our staff actually lecture here, but also a big part of it is there is an amazing amount of technical depth and knowledge and interdisciplinary information here at the University of Illinois. And, you know, hey, we're local. We're just down the road, so to speak. Long association with the University of Illinois.
Beginning today, that long association includes a $1.4 million fund from Kraft Foods to the College of ACES for the research project, as well as an additional $150,000 for fellowships for the university. The three-year project will be broken into two phases, bringing together a wide range of interdisciplinary talent and technical expertise within the College of ACES, including crop sciences, food science and human nutrition, agricultural consumer and economics, and agricultural and biological engineering. The end goal, of course, is to develop cost-effective red and purple food colors derived from corn to deliver on consumer interest in ingredients from natural sources in packaged foods and beverages. It is simply, as Nigel Kirkley would say, a continuation of a long research relationship between the University of Illinois and Kraft.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we are a leader in our industry, present in something like 99% of Americans' homes. Yeah, we're always looking for how we can make better, more nutritious, better value foods that appeal to sort of the changing needs for our consumers and indeed new consumers in the U.S. and in Canada and indeed increasingly all over the world.
That's Kraft's Nigel Kirkley, Vice President of Research and Supplier Integration, discussing a brand new joint project funded by Kraft at the University of Illinois, the outcome of which should provide American farmers with another crop opportunity and highlight new ways the food industry and academia can collaborate in what they term as mutually beneficial ways. It's a Thursday afternoon. Let's check now the marketplace on the cash side with Matt Bennett. He's from Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about the marketplace as you see it at this time, as I'm sure you probably are really close to finishing up harvesting both your corn and soybean crops.
Yeah, we're done with beans and corn. We're down to about 15 acres. We had a little bit of a muddy mess we got into after this last shower, and so we're going to wait a little bit and see if we can't get the ground to firm up a little bit. But as far as the market goes, I think today definitely people have been looking for the bean market to run out of steam at some point. And looks like we're posting a reversal today, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, if we go ahead and move on lower. But as far as I'm concerned, I think producers hopefully have done a really good job of rewarding this rally.
As you watched this rally in soybeans developed and came to the realization, I suppose, that it was being led by a distribution clog for soybean meal, did you think that we would end up maybe breaking the marketplace at some time?
Yes, I did. And to be honest, I didn't think that we would rally as much as what we have. I think whenever I look at ratios from new crop beans and new crop corn, and then I look at what the cash market's doing, I think, you know, I've been a little bit more friendly to the corn market, relatively speaking, than the bean market. But obviously the bean market has kind of had an artificial reason that has moved it higher. And so anytime that we see artificial reason that has moved the market a little bit higher than what it normally might move, we definitely want to be very active sellers of that.
Did the cash price in your area follow the soybean rally up?
Yeah, I mean, our basis hasn't improved, actually, but the cash price pretty much has moved penny for penny because we didn't lose any on basis. And I know there's been a few areas where basis actually weakened just a hair, but really hasn't done so in our neck of the woods.
Are you of a mind that producers still harvesting soybeans should sell them across the scale?
Very much so. I know that, you know, whenever we get a dollar or more rally, it really doesn't do anybody a whole lot of good if they don't reward that rally. And so I'm definitely in the mindset that we need to be selling across the scale and being happy with that kind of price, especially right in here where we're at, Todd, because I know most guys are very happy with their yields. And, you know, you can make a lot of money at the kind of beans people are pulling off at $10.
And for the corn market, what are your suggestions?
Well, I think with corn, it's a little more tricky. You know, we were calling there for quite some time for a rally in the corn market and guys to go ahead and store. After you get a 40, 50-cent rally, it changes your frame of mind just a little bit. And I think guys should probably be rewarding this rally. You know, I'm not sure that I would want to pay a whole lot of commercial storage at this point. Stuff that's put on the farm, though, I'm still of the mindset that we would probably want to go ahead and sell the carry in the market, sell July corn and use a little bit of that carry to step out and buy a call at some point. But I'm probably not quite ready to buy those calls right now, so I think we'll see a little bit of a pullback.
And do you actually know what the bids there might be in Windsor, Illinois for the day?
What's that now?
Do you know what the bids are in Windsor, Illinois for the day by chance?
No, I don't have that right in front of me today.
I didn't think you would. Hey, thanks so much. Be safe out on the farm, and hopefully you're not stuck.
Yeah, we're not. Have a good day, Doug.
Support That's comes Matt from Bennett. AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Candy Corn Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, Andrew Jackson Downing was born, an American horticulturalist. He authored The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America. In 1823, Edmund Cartwright died. He created a machine that improved the speed and quality of weaving. His power loom, which Cartwright patented in 1785, revolutionized weaving, changing it from a manual process into a mechanical one. Later, he would equip his power looms with steam engines. And he would go on to also invent a machine for combing wool. In 1900, the first ever U.S. auto show opened in Madison Square Garden in New York City. In 1918, Robert C. Siemens Jr. was born, an American aeronautical engineer. He pioneered the development of advanced systems of flight control, fire control, and guidance for modern aircraft. In 1945, the U.S. government announced the end of shoe rationing. During World War II, each man, woman, and child could purchase up to 3 pairs of leather shoes a year. In 1944, the ration was reduced to 2 pair as leather reserves decreased. To keep it simple, only 6 shades of leather were produced. And in 1952, Clarence Birdseye sold the first ever frozen peas. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Mike Tenora is out of the office today. No worries. Drew Lerner left us this update of the weather forecast.
Most of the Midwest is preparing for colder air to seep into the region over the next 2 days. We're expecting to see a little bit of rain and some snow to precede the coldest air, at least in the eastern and northern portions of the region. Most of that precipitation will begin today as some erratic precipitation across the northernmost portions of the Midwest. There will be precipitation that will increase as we go through the afternoon across the upper portions of the region from eastern portions of Minnesota through Wisconsin and over to Michigan. Eventually, some showers will pop up in Illinois and Indiana and portions of Ohio and Kentucky. A lot of that precipitation will occur this evening and continuing overnight. The precipitation will likely continue tomorrow across the eastern Midwest from Michigan through Ohio and parts of Indiana to Kentucky. The precipitation is expected to be mostly light, but it will work its way up to about 35 hundredths of an inch with a few local totals, maybe up to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch. The precipitation will occur as both rain and snow, and there may be some accumulation of snowfall in a few pockets across the region, most likely in Michigan, but it is not out of the realm of possibilities in a few other locations. Most of the snow that does accumulate will be on grassy areas and will not last for very long. And then as we move into the afternoon on Friday, a lot of the precipitation will end, but there will still be some showers still lingering in the easternmost portions of the region, and that is likely to take place as we go from late on Sunday evening into Monday morning. The snow that occurs in those areas at that time will possibly accumulate, and we'll watch real closely to see how significant that may or may not be. A cold surface high pressure center will be responsible for all of the change in weather across the Midwest. The surface high will be over the eastern Dakotas as we get to dawn on Friday morning. In fact, it'll be so cold in the northwestern Corn Belt that we'll see many low temperatures in the teens and the 20s across that particular region. The Dakotas, Minnesota, and parts of Iowa will be coldest tomorrow morning. As we move into Saturday morning, the surface high pressure center will likely relocate to the heart of the Midwest over Missouri and parts of Illinois. That will be the coldest morning for many areas, and we'll look for the low temperatures in the 20s and 30s across a big part of the Midwest. We'll actually see some 30-degree temperatures settle into parts of the interior southeastern United States as well. That will probably be most significant on Sunday morning. There won't be any hard freezes in any place further south than northern Georgia, but still, it'll be a very cold air mass. As we move on out beyond this period, there will be a southerly wind returning to the western portions of the Corn Belt and the Plains. This wind will likely be most noted on Friday afternoon going into Saturday. The wind speeds will be strong, and the returning warm air will quickly throw temperatures back up to a warmer than normal range. We'll expect the warmth to work its way back across the Midwest as we move on into the early part of next week, setting the stage for our next frontal system and our next precipitation potential, which will occur from Kansas to parts of Wisconsin and Illinois as we get into Monday. The temperatures over these next few days will definitely be cooling down, as I made note. The afternoon highs tomorrow will only be in the 30s and 40s in the northern parts of the Midwest and 40s to lower 50s in the south. We'll stay very cool with highs in the 40s on Saturday and then returning to maybe some 50 and 60 degree readings by the early part of next week.
Our thanks to Drew Lerner. I'm Todd Gleason.